بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah, sister, today we will have class number 10 of the series of classes of purification of the heart, and the title of the class is Sincerity in Prayer. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the characteristics of the believing hearts. Last week we learned from Surah number 23, Surah Al-Mu'mineen, verse from 1 to 11, the following characteristics of the believing hearts. Now, inshallah, we will read from Surah number 23, from verse 1 to verse 11. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون.
Successful indeed are the believers, those who offer their salat prayers with all solemnity and full submissiveness, and those who turn away from ar-ragu, dirty, false, evil, vain talk, falsehood, and all that Allah has forbidden, and those who pay the zakat. And those who refrain from intimate relations except with those joined to them in marriage. But whoever seeks beyond that, then these are the transgressors, those who are faithfully true to their amanat, all the duties which Allah has ordained, honesty, moral responsibility and trust, and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their five compulsory congregational salat prayers at their fixed started hours. These are indeed the inheritors who shall inherit the furthest paradise. They shall dwell therein forever.
Thank you, Zin. So, sisters, actually, we are learning the following characteristics of the believing hearts. Number one, those whom they have sincerity in their prayers. Number two, those who turn away from falsehood and evil talk. Number three, those who pay the zakat charity. Number four, those who are faithful to their trusts and to their pledges. Number five, those who refrain from intimate relations except with those joined to them in marriage. And number six, those who are diligent in their prayers. Last week we learned about the prayers, and we learned about its importance in our life and how it is a mercy from Allah. And also, sister, we learned that as-salah, prayer, is the first deed to be evaluated by Allah on the Day of Judgment. This is to clarify how as-salah also is very important on the Day of Judgment, because if as-salah is valid, inshallah, all your deeds will be valid and you will be in the paradise. So a salah is a form of mercy of Allah in our daily, in our worldly life, and it is the way to the paradise, inshaAllah. So the question is how we can achieve all the blessings of prayer. I will use the word prayer because it is in English. Actually, through having sincerity during your prayers. And the question is how? How can I have sincerity in my prayer so that it will be a form of mercy of Allah in my life to guide me to the right path, to give me the light, to wipe my sins and to give me the tranquility and the peace and inshallah to be my way to the paradise. First, let us know the definition of sincerity in prayer. And in Arabic, in the Quran, it is called khushu' in as-salah. Sincerity in prayer, sister, means that the presence of your heart and your mind during your prayers. Okay, this is the meaning of the sincerity, this is the secret of the prayer, this is the most important for the believers, is to feel and to realize that I am in the prayer with my mind and with my heart. Through the realization that you are meeting the Lord of the heavens and the earth. You know, sisters, again and again I am clarifying that every meeting has its importance according to whom you are meeting. So, when you will meet the Lord of the heavens and the earth, this must be the most important meeting for every one of us. Why? Because the Lord of the heavens and the earth is the one who controls our life, your life and the life of all around you. Because He is the one who can remove all the harm. He is the one who can make all your hopes a reality. He is the one who answers your supplication. He is the one who provides you with all the blessings. He is the one who guides you to the right path. He is the one who protects you and your family and all the people. Allah is the one who forgives all the sins. Allah is the one who controls the day of judgment, and He is the one out of His mercy to send you to the paradise. So when you will realize that during a salah or prayer you are in the meeting with Allah the One, okay, this realization will lead to a reflection while you are reciting the Quran. This realization will lead to calmness and tranquility because you are in the meeting with all the power and all the will in this life. So I will be calm and I will be humble. Also, you will realize that I must do a lot of dua and supplication during a sujood because at that position I am in the closest position to the Lord who can answer my supplication. And also you can start to feel the tears in your eyes because you are connected with Allah, the one who can change everything, the one who can make your dreams a reality, the one who can save you from all your problems. So you will feel that you are in great need to belong to Allah because you feel that you are very weak and He is all the power. So at that moment you will start to feel the tears coming from your eyes because you already felt the connection with Him and you already have the feeling that Allah will take care of me, and after this prayer, inshallah, I will be in a better shape. So the rule, sister, is that the more you believe in the oneness of Allah, the more you care for His meeting. The more sincerity you will have in your prayers, the more you will feel the effect of the prayer in your life, and the more you will love the prayers. And you know, sisters, this is a very important rule, okay? I cannot do any action in my life except when I know why I am doing this action and what will be the benefit for me from that action. As-salah, prayer, is the most important action or deed in your life. Why? Because as-salah is the connection with the one who controls everything. During this prayer, I will receive, as He promised, okay, I will receive a message of mercy from Him, okay. This message of mercy will give me the psychological support which I am looking for in every second in my life. This psychological support will support me to follow the right path, will support me to take care of my responsibilities, will support me to have the good manners and the good values, and will support me to have the hope that, inshallah, the one is taking care of me. The one whom I am meeting him with all the respect, with all the sincerity, he will, inshallah, plan for me the best plan in my life. This reassurance which Allah is sending to the hearts of the believers during the prayers is the medicine which everyone is looking for in this life. Everyone in this life, sisters, is looking for a dose of reassurance. Don't worry, you are not alone. Everything will be all right. No one can harm you. Inshallah, everything will be better. This dose of reassurance, you can only have it from the one who has the power and the will. Allah, the one. He will give you, or he will send for you this message when you meet him. Okay? And the meeting is during the prayer. So I will love the prayers. I will be looking for the prayers. Your heart, by time, will be looking for the time of the prayers, because this is the time when I will receive the dose of reassurance. And without this dose, I will be in a very bad shape. Because now, when you pray and pray with sincerity, you will be familiar with this dose. You will be looking for this dose. There will be times in your day, when you wake up in the morning, for example, at the time of Fajr prayer, you will notice that you are, as soon as you wake up, you want to start prayer. Why? Because my heart at the beginning of the day is in great need of this dose of reassurance. I can't start my day alone. I want to start my day with the help, with the support, with the mercy, with the reassurance of Allah, the one who has all the power and the will. During Dhuhr prayer, when Dhuhr prayer will come, you will be actually, you will notice that I already lived from 6 o'clock until 12 o'clock in the worldly life. There are some problems, there are some trials. I am confused, I am not in a good shape, so I am in great need of the dose of reassurance. How I will have it? I will have it in my prayers. And because of that, Allah, out of His mercy, makes the prayers 5 times per day, so that every 2 or 3 hours I will meet Him and He will give me the dose of reassurance which I am in need of it. And this must be the basic belief regarding the prayers. It is not a burden, it is not a must, it is not obligatory. No, sisters, it is the great mercy from Allah to the believers, because Allah is not in need of anyone. Allah is not in need to meet anyone, because Allah, out of His knowledge, knows and listens and records everything going on the earth. So Allah is not the one in need of us. We are the one in need of Him. So I am supposed to evaluate the prayers as a mercy, and that I am the one in need of it. I am the one who loves it. I am the one who need to have the sincerity. Because when I will have the sincerity, it will be the source of mercy, reassurance, tranquility, calmness, patience, acceptance in my life. And I am in great need of these dose in my life. Also, I will be all the time having the reassurance that even if the worldly life is very difficult, but the paradise is waiting for you, inshallah. Why? Because of your sincerity in prayers, Allah, inshallah, accepts all your prayers, and the paradise is waiting for you. So, before starting the prayers or before discussing about the prayers, you must have this concept very clear in your spirit. You must love the prayers so that you will have sincerity in it. But if you don't love the prayers and if you are not the one looking for the prayers, you will never pray all the prayers in the fixed time, because the goal is not clear in your spirit and it will be a burden for you. So all the time, sisters, try to send for yourself this message. Try to support yourself to love the prayers through this, having this conversation with yourself. Why I will pray now? Allah is in need of me? No, Allah is not in need of me. I am in need of Him? 100% I am in need of Him. Why? Because I don't have any power and He has all the power. As He mentioned in the Quran, because I am a believer in the oneness of Allah. Otherwise, I am not a believer in the oneness of Allah. You know, sister, this is how we have to handle, you know, any command from Allah. Any command from Allah is not for the benefit of Allah. Because Allah is the one who controls, owns, creates, takes care, everything is up to Allah. So the command must be for me. So I must love it. And I must know its benefits and blessings. And I must be happy that Allah will help me to pray. That Allah will help me to meet Him. The Lord of the heavens and earth, I will meet Him. I will talk to Him directly. There will be no one between me and Him. I can tell Him all what I am not telling to anyone on the earth. I will tell it only to Him because He is the only power and only will. He is the only one who can make the changes, and He is the most merciful. Allah loves the believers, and Allah takes care of the believers. So when I talk to Him, I will feel that I am close to Him. He loves me, I love Him, He takes care of me. When I will tell Him all my secrets, which He already knows, okay, I will feel that my secrets are only with Allah, not with any human being. No one will know my mistakes. No one will know my weak points. No one will know my trials or the hardships which I am living. It is only the one who already knows, and He is the one who can make the changes. So you must all the time remind yourself with this concept regarding the prayers, because actually, sisters, prayers is a great mercy from Allah to the believers, and those whom they don't pray or they don't have the sincerity in prayers, they are missing a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the hereafter. So now we learn that the sincerity is the presence of your heart and mind during the prayers, and it is based on your belief in the oneness of Allah. But also there are other factors which can help you to have sincerity in prayers, and number one is recitation and understanding of the meaning of the Holy Quran. It is only the Quran, sister, which can provide the spirit with the true belief in the oneness of Allah, the most important requirement for sincerity. Through understanding the meaning of the verses of the Quran and recitation with reflection, you will realize the proof of the unity of Allah in the universe. You know, sister, this is one of the topics which the Quran discussed many times. The proofs of the oneness of Allah in the universe, the sun, the moon, the rain, the wind, you know, and the sea, and everything around you is giving the proof that the one who controls everything is one, is the one, Allah. So your spirit will be always connected with the belief that Allah is the one. Everything is up to Him. He is controlling life and the universe and everything. Nothing can happen over the earth except by the will and the command of Allah. This is the mercy of the Quran. It will make your heart all the time connected with the belief in the oneness of Allah. And this will make you looking forward to meet Him, to call on Him, to belong to Him. Okay, so this is one of the important aspects regarding the effect of the Quran on your prayers. Also in the Quran, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you will learn about the paradise as a great reward and the hellfire as a severe punishment. And when you will learn about this, and you will realize that my way to paradise is based mainly on the prayers, I will love the prayers. I will take care of the prayers. It will be very important for me to have my prayers in the best shape, because I knew about the hellfire a lot from the Quran, and I don't want to be in the hellfire. And I know about the paradise a lot from the Quran. And inshallah, me and all the believers and all the Muslims, may Allah make us in the paradise. Because it is the eternal, real happiness. Okay? So, when I will learn about the paradise and the hellfire from the Quran, on, I will tell to myself now, when the prayer, call for the prayer will come, I will run with sincerity, because I am inshallah looking for the paradise. Also the verses of the Quran will inform you about the hope, the mercy and the help which Allah provides to the true believers in the worldly life. So you will try to perform your prayers in the best shape, looking for Allah's help. You know, sisters, again and again, this is one of the blessings of the Quran. The Quran will always provide yourself with the proof that when Allah wants to give you something good, none can prevent it. When Allah will put you in hardship, none can prevent it. This is one of the messages of the Quran. So when you will realize that none can give me benefit except Allah, and one can prevent the harm except Him, and the call for the prayer will come, I will run to Him. Because I want Him to remove the harm, and I want Him to shower me with His mercy and to solve my problems, because life is a test and everyone is under pressure, everyone is having hardships, because this is the nature of the worldly life. So during this hardship, I am in need of a support. My husband can? No. My kids can? No. The wealthy can? No. The healthy can? No. Who can solve all my problems? The one. So when the call for His meeting will come, I will run, because I have a clear concept in my mind about how I am in great need of this meeting and how, inshallah, I will have a lot of benefit out of it. In the Quran, Allah informs us also that He answered the call of the believers. So when I will start my prayers and the sujood or the prostration will come, you know, to be down, okay, I will be saying to myself, Mona, this what I was looking for in the last 4 hours. Okay, after I finish my Fajr prayer, I was looking for the prayer of the Dhuhr prayer. Why? Because I want to call on Him. I want to mention to Him everything. I want Him to help me. I want to have the message from Allah that you are on the right path. You are doing the good. Don't hesitate. Don't change your line, your way of life. Keep your values the same. All of this I need it, you know, because we cannot live in this worldly life with the good values and the good manners and fulfilling our responsibilities while we don't have a support from the only power in life, Allah the Almighty. So calling on Allah during prayer, sisters, is actually a great blessing from Allah. And when you become accustomed to calling on Allah in your prayers, you will not be able to live this life without this calling on Allah during the sujood. Allah will make you to love the sujood. Allah will make you to feel that Allah is listening to me. And actually, sisters, inshallah, I will show you maybe in this class or the next class, inshallah, when we will have the prayer in the prayer room, inshallah, I want you to learn about this secret, because you can't imagine how this is the best treatment for any psychological problems. You know, sisters, Muslims are trying antidepressant or whatever medications to improve their psychological mood. But all of this, you know, will not make them to face the realities. All of these medications will give them the feelings, you know, that everything is alright, but this is not the reality. But when you will call on Allah with the true, clear belief that He is the one who can make the change, and when you call on Him from the depths of your heart, this is the best treatment for any psychological problem. Because so long you call on Him with all this sincerity, immediately, sisters, while you are down, He will send for you the message. You are not alone. You will feel that all your feelings changed completely while you are still down. And you will have the proof when you will start to cry. Because when you cry, this means that you are relieved from all the internal pressure. I started my prayer while I was under a lot of pressure and I was not in a good shape, but all praise to Allah. While I am down, I am still in the first sajda. everything changed. All praise to Allah. I feel different. I feel strong. I feel that I am not alone. I feel that everything will be all right. So I love the sujood. I cannot live without it. Okay, and I am clear in my belief. I am not asking any human being for any help. I am not looking for anyone to give me anything because I believe in the oneness of Allah. And because of my clear belief, I convey the message to Allah in the best shape. And Allah responded to me immediately with His mercy, and He showered me with the feelings that I will take care of everything. Everything will be in the best shape. Go ahead and move in this worldly life. None can harm you. And this feeling, none can give it to you in this worldly life except Allah.
I'm reading a book that is called Anger Busting 101. Okay. And it's written by Newton High. The interesting thing, you know, he's a psychologist, and he has worked as a psychologist, as a therapist for many, many years. He wasn't successful because he had an anger management problem himself. So he was so angry that he beat his wife. He got married the third time. Mm-hmm. She lost two marriages. He lost many jobs. Mm-hmm. And on the third marriage, he said that his anger was so uncontrollable that one day he was at the park, at the, walking with his wife. And then he made a comment to his wife, saying, look at the trees, and the wife didn't answer, and he became enraged because of this. And he started pounding and kicking, you know, the little car. And then the third wife told him, you know, you're going to lose your third marriage. You're going to lose your, this is going to be the third time. And he said, yes, I know. And at that time, he said that he knew that he had to do something different because he had tried medications. He had tried therapy himself. And he prayed to God. Mm-hmm. You know, this is very unusual. When you read psychology, you don't find any religion in books of psychology. Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. But the striking part is that he said, and the prayer is there. Mm-hmm. He said, he asked God, mm-hmm, to change it or do something different with his life. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is that he changed completely. Mm-hmm. And in one of the advices that he said, the ten things that you have to do to not be angry and not to be violent with your wife is to start your day praying to God.
You see?
And you know, I find that so striking because you don't find this in a psychological book, in a book of
atheist mostly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he said, and he said that up to now, mm-hmm, he started his day, mm-hmm, praying.
Very good.
And devoting himself to it, and his life has changed completely. He's very famous. He's one of the most famous therapists in the world, and the one about domestic violence. He trained angry men. He gives a therapy to angry men to change themselves, because he said that he completely changed himself.
You see, alhamdulillah. So this is the proof. You want to say something? Okay. So this is the proof. So this is the proof, sister, that all praise to Allah. You know, this is the religion of Islam. We are not, alhamdulillah, supposed to go through all of this problem like this man, you know, to reach the conclusion that I must be connected with Allah all the time, so that inshallah I can have a balanced personality and I can live a good life and my psychological condition will be all the time in the best shape because of this connection as we are learning now. So actually also, sisters, to have sincerity, so number one, to have sincerity in the prayers, okay, is to recite the Quran and to understand the meaning of the Quran. Number two, to have sincerity of the prayers, sisters, you need to feel that Allah is pleased with you. Otherwise, you will feel shy to meet Him. This can happen through avoiding of the sins and being away from the shaitan all the time. So being obedient to Allah will help your spirit to reflect on the verses of the Quran during prayer and to have sincerity. So the second factor to have sincerity in prayers is to avoid sins and be obedient to Allah all the time. Okay, because when you are obedient to Allah, your spirit will be always in the best shape and you can connect with Allah very easily and have the sincerity in prayers. But if you are doing sins and you are not obeying Allah, this means that you are connected with the shaitan and obeying the commands of the shaitan, and the shaitan will prevent you from prayers basically, not even from having sincerity, but the shaitan will come to you always at the time of the prayers and to tell you, now you are tired, now you have something else very important, forget about the prayers, and you will never be able to pray at the fixed time and to pray with sincerity. So the second factor regarding being sincere in your prayers is to avoid sins and being obedient to Allah. The third factor which can help you for having sincerity in prayer, sisters, is the realization of the reality of the worldly life. Now we will read from the Quran, from Surah number 10, verse number 24, and from Surah number 57, verse number 20. Why we want to learn about this? Then we will read these verses of the Quran. Because, sisters, you must realize that in the worldly life, there is no security. You know, this is one of the basic facts which you learn from the Quran. No one can say, I am secure in the worldly life. No, nobody is secure in the worldly life. Because, basically, you may die at any second. So, the belief that I may die at any second will give me the feeling that I am not secure. In every second in my life, I am not secure. Because now, while I'm talking, I may die. When I will go to drive my car, I may die. When I may die. During my sleep, I may die. So, there is no security in the worldly life. This is number one. Even the most perfect of the enjoyment can be replaced with complete misery in a matter of seconds. And as we have Zainab with us, Zainab is from Japan. You see? And Japan is teaching us that lesson. You know, correct, Zainab? You see, this is Japan, one of the best countries, industrial countries in the world. And in a matter of hours, you see how the people are living now in misery. They are telling today that 20,000 were killed in that, earthquake and in that tsunami. And, you know, sister, this is what we will learn now from the Quran. This is how, sisters, we must live with the Quran. We must believe in the Quran. Because whatever you learn in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a reality in the worldly life. But because we are not aware of the meanings of the Quran, something like what happens in Japan will happen, and we Muslims, we will not be aware of the message from what is happening nowadays. Okay, why? Because we are not connected with the meanings of the Quran. Now we will read these two verses of the Quran, and they are exactly what happens in the 21st century in Japan. So that maybe the true believers will realize that there is no security in the worldly life, and the only place for security is the paradise, and whatever enjoyments in the worldly life are only deceiving, transient enjoyment. So I am not supposed to waste my life for these enjoyments. I must try to live a good life, to enjoy life according to the rules of Allah, believing that they are all transient, deceiving enjoyment. But inshallah, when I will pray with sincerity and I will be away from the sins, I will live a good worldly life, and the paradise is very close, inshallah, where there is the security and inshallah the eternal happiness. Now we will read from Surah number 10, verse number 24. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Sister, this is exactly what happened in Japan. Subhanallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Very the likeness of this watery life is as a water lamp which we send down from the sky. So by it allies the intermingled produce of the earth of which men and the cattle eat, until when the earth is clad in its adornment and its beautified, and its people think that they have all the power of disposal over it. Our command reaches it by night or by day, and we make it like a clean warm harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain the ayat, proof, evidence, verses, lessons, signs, liberation, laws, etc., in detail for the people who reflect.
So, you see, sister, I will clarify to you this verse of the Quran again. You want to read it? You want to look at it? Okay, I will talk and I will give it. You know, sister, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, is always sending for us the messages, you know, that we must again and again revise our belief in the oneness of Allah. Because this is the greatest mercy for any spirit over the earth, the belief in the oneness of Allah. This verse of the Quran equals exactly what happened in Japan. Allah is clarifying that this worldly life is like the rain coming from the sky. And it will intermingle, when it will come down, it will flourish everything. And life will be in the best shape. And everyone will be happy. The industry, agriculture, everything will be in the best shape. And people will think that they have all the power on the earth. You know, sister, this is the most important. People will think that they have all the power on the earth. In a second, the command of Allah will reach it by night or by the day. You know, you must, sisters, reflect, and Allah is clarifying that these verses of the Quran, He is teaching us for those whom they can reflect. So if you want to prove to yourself that you can reflect, okay, try to think of this one verse of the Quran. Everything was alright, everything was going in the best shape, everything was up to the expectations. We are powerful, we can do, we don't believe in anyone, we believe in nature, not in a God. Then the command will come in one second. Then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and we make it like a clean harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. You see, from one day to the second day. One day, Japan was in the best shape. Second day, everything was destroyed as if it was not there. This is the problem, you know. But we have the images, we have the photos, we have everything, that everything was in the best shape yesterday. Oh Allah, no, it was not. Everything is totally destroyed. Okay, sisters, so Allah is clarifying this. Thus we explain all of these verses, lessons in detail for a people who reflect. So you know, sister, this is the mercy of the belief. All praise to Allah. Is that when I look around me and I notice that everyone is saying, oh, why this is happening in Japan? What will be the end? It will happen again. We don't know it. We don't expect it. You know, all of this nonsense. You know, and I want to tell you one thing, sisters. When I was looking to the water while it is moving, I felt that, you know, the power which is moving the water is the anger of Allah. You see, you know, sisters, because they are a warning from Allah for the people whom they are not believers on the earth. Because the number of the non-believers is increasing every day. And people are trying to prove to themselves that they have the power and they can do it and they are not in need of a God. So Allah in 2 or 3 hours clarified to them that, you know, this is not Bangladesh, this is not Egypt, this is not Mexico, this is Japan. You know, you have to realize what country was actually attacked by Allah. You know, the most strong and the most, you know, industrial and technical and, you know, Japan is a very special case, you know, but Allah is clarifying that with one command: destroy, total destruction. Total destruction. So, you know, sister, when I read this verse of the Quran, then I tell to myself, now the prayer time will come. The meeting with the Lord will come. The meeting with the one whom, with one command, destroy a nation. Not destroy a human being, destroy a nation. So what about me? What about me, the helpless human being? I will run to him with total submission. I will be very thankful that he is allowing me to meet him and to call in him and to send him my messages. And I will be very thankful that, sisters, I always have the spiritual feeling that Allah is with me. Allah is taking care of me. This is the most important blessing for the believer. Is that when you tell me, Sister Mona, you are sick, your knees are not good, how you will go home? I tell you, sister, I will go home with the help of Allah. I will give classes with the support of Allah. I will keep on, inshallah, with the reassurance of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sisters, Allah is with me, sisters. Realize. You know, this feeling inside the spirit will make you always in the best psychological condition, will motivate you to work, to fulfill your requirement, to take care of everything, to pray and to meet Allah in the best shape, to be ready for everything. When you tell me you have hardships or trials, I tell you yes, but no. What is the problem, sister? So long I am a true believer in Allah and He is taking care of me. And I will meet Him now soon, within 10 or 20 minutes. And inshallah I will send for Him the message and He will reply with me with the message which I am looking for. All praise to Allah. Everything will be excellent, inshallah, inshallah, sisters. Who can have this psychological condition? Only the true believer in the oneness of Allah, who meets Allah during the prayers and convey for him all the messages, and then Allah reply with the message of mercy, and you keep your life every day. How can I be in this shape? Through my connection with the Quran. Again and again, sisters. Okay? Now, inshallah, we will read the second verse, which is related to the reality of the worldly life. Surah number 57, verse number 20. Rahman al-Rahim. We will read surah number, verse number 20. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A'lamu annama al-hayatu al-dunya la'ibu wa lahu. وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Now the life of this world is only prey and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of the wealth and the children. It is as likeness of the vegetation after rain, there of the growth it's pleasing to tiders. Afterwards it dries up and you see it turns yellow. Then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter, there is a severe torment for the disbelievers, evildoers, and there is forgiveness of Allah and His good pleasure for the believers, good doers. And the life of it, and the life of this world is only their deceiving enjoyment.
Yes, you know, sister, this is the message of Allah, that the worldly life is only a deceiving enjoyment. So let us work for the eternal happiness, inshallah, which is the paradise. And our sincerity in our prayers is our way, inshallah. The other factor which also can help you to have sincerity in prayers is remembrance of this. Actually, as we realize that the worldly life is a deceiving enjoyment, so we will realize also that death is the end of the worldly life and the start of the journey to the day of judgment. We must always remember this fact, sisters. A believer who is living this worldly life must live it as an act of worship to Allah, trying to collect as much as he can of the good deeds for the Day of Judgment. Remembrance of this will always encourage the believer to have sincerity in prayers, so that we can win all the reward of the prayers. And also, when you remember this before your prayers, you will be reminded to pray this prayer as if it is the last one. And again, sister, this is very important. None of us has the guarantee that the next prayer is his or her last prayer. None has the guarantee. No one can tell me, no, Sister Mona, I am sure that after I pray Dhuhr prayer, I will pray Asr prayer, I will tell her, sister, you are not a believer in the oneness of Allah. Because if you are a believer in the oneness of Allah, you must believe that you don't know the unseen. The unseen is up to Allah, and the death can come at any second. So none has the guarantee that after we will pray, inshallah. First, we don't have the guarantee that we will pray Dhuhr prayer after 10 or 15 minutes. None has the guarantee. And after praying this prayer, none has the guarantee that we will be alive until Asr prayer. Because we don't know the unseen, only Allah knows the unseen. So every prayer, I must pray it as if it is my last prayer. Because I am a believer in this, and this can come at any second. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, remember this within your prayers. Because when a man remembers this in his prayer, he will strive to beauty his prayer. And always pray, he is also saying, and always pray the prayer of a man who does not think that he will perform another prayer after it. This is the command of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Also, he said, pray a farewell prayer as if you see him, and though you don't see him, he certainly sees you. When you pray the prayer as if this is my last prayer, I must believe that even I don't see Allah, but Allah sees me, Allah observes me, Allah reports my prayer, and I want him to report my prayer, which may be the last one, as if it is the best of my prayers. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to be heard praying, and in his chest was a sound, a strong sound due to his weeping. The sound is that the sound of a cooking kettle. You know, when the kettle is cooking and the water is burning, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he was praying, you can hear this sound from his chest because of his weeping. Because, you know, sisters, when you connect with Allah, especially in the sujood, and before your prayer, you believe that this is my last prayer, and I will leave the worldly life, I will leave everything, I will forget about all my hopes, and this is the end. I will be under the earth. I will disappear. I will vanish. Everything will end as soon as I will end my prayer. If this feeling is clear in your spirit, you will keep on crying during your prayer. Because this means that you realize the reality. The reality is that maybe this is the end. Everyone in this worldly life is very keen about my clothes, my jewelry, my job, my family, my kids. None of them is supposed to be my, because we don't own anything. All these are a trust which you must be ready to leave at any second. At any second, you will leave all of this. So we are not supposed to be strongly attached to all of this, because we don't own anything in this worldly life. Even my spirit, I don't own it. It is all a trust from Allah, and he has the right to have all the trust back at any second without informing me. So I must not be strongly attached to all of this. I must be strongly attached to the one who will take care of me on the Day of Judgment, and out of his mercy, he will save me from the hellfire. This is why I have to be connected with him. This is why I must be sincere in my prayers. This is why I must call on him on his prayer to guide me to the right path all the time, to help me to do the good deeds all the time, to support me to love my prayers all the time, because this is the only fact in this worldly life. Other than this, everything is a deceiving enjoyment which will be lost at any second. And you know, sisters, this is the mercy of the belief in the oneness of Allah in Islam. Because when you live your life with this belief, you will not be upset when you will have a car accident, because everything will be lost at any time. So why I will be upset about the car accident if maybe I was supposed to lose my spirit? Allah keep for me my spirit and Allah make me to lose the car. Nothing. If my daughter will not pass a test, nothing. If I don't marry, nothing. If I don't have any kids, nothing. Why all of this? How you can have this belief or this personality which accepts everything, and all the time you are calm, you are accepting, you are patient, you are in a good shape, when I believe that none owns anything in this worldly life, nothing is important in this worldly life except one thing, to have the link with the One. This is the only important, must be the only important goal of any believer. And it must be also the source of the real happiness for any believer, whether you have, you own or not, but the most important is that in every second Allah is with me. In every second Allah will take care of me. I have a car accident, no problem. This happened, no problem. Why no problem? When you tell me no problem, I tell you, sister, because I don't own any of this. I am a true believer. I never waste my life because I don't have this house, I don't have this car, I don't have this qualification, I don't do this work. Never. Because I have a mind, I can reflect, I will leave everything. But this is not the end. There is a paradise and a hellfire, eternal. So I, out of my belief in the oneness of Allah, Allah showered me with His mercy by making me to link only and to care only for my relation with Him. This is the source of my happiness. When I pray Dhuhr prayer in the best shape, all praise to Allah. I will be very happy. You tell me, but you have problems. I tell you, this is part of the worldly life. It will take time. But now I am very happy. I am in the best shape. I have the meeting and I succeeded in my meeting. Maybe this is my last one. Maybe I am about to get rid of all these hardships. Allah will make me to die soon, inshallah, and I will meet Him, and I, alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, I am praying in the best shape, and inshallah, out of His mercy, out of my belief in Him, He supported me all my life with this clear belief, that so long I am connected with Him, I am obeying Him, He will take care of me in this life, and all praise to Allah. This is the paradise. You know, sister, this is how your spirit will be always the best spirit, and this is actually the spirits of the believers whom Allah will send them to the paradise. The believers whom they are clear about the belief in Allah, whom they don't live the worldly life only to collect the wealth or to have the best house or to have the, you know, the best car. Because they realize the reality of the worldly life. And I need to clarify to you another very important point. When you live your life with this belief, Allah will bring to you the best of everything. In spite of the fact you were not caring for it, and it was not your goal, but Allah is the most merciful. Allah always makes the believer to have a very good life. So whatever you are in need of, Allah will bring it to you. You will have a very good car in spite of the fact that you don't care. Any car is good. When you have this spirit, sisters, you know, that I only care for the obedience of Allah, Allah will love you. And when Allah will love you, Allah will support you with the best life. Because, or with the good life, or with the comfortable life. Because with this comfortable life, you can pray in the best shape. You can fulfill all your responsibilities in the best shape. Allah loves you and Allah wants to support you so that you can do all your responsibilities regarding Him, yourself and your family and everyone in the best shape. Allah wants you to be with Him in the paradise. So Allah will make it easy for you. In spite of the fact you don't care for the worldly life, but out of His love, He will make your worldly life comfortable for you. All these feelings, sister, when you have it in your spirit, you will have a very healthy, acceptable, patient spirit, which is always looking for the good. When you tell me, Sister Mona, what will happen for the... I tell you, hope. Everything will be all right. Nothing harm will happen. We will be the best people. Inshallah, the help is there. Inshallah, everything is there. So, when you have this feeling inside your spirit, this means that you are the best human being on the earth. You are never upset. You are never worried. You are never in doubt. You are never in help of anyone. You don't have sadness or depression or anything. And you are not lazy. You are all the time motivated to move, to build, to help, to support. And every step is you are rewarded for it. So what is better than this life, sisters? Healthy spirit, motivation, doing all the good deeds, accepting all the decree of Allah, having the link with Him all the time. All of these, sisters, you can have it when you link with Allah in the prayers with all the sincerity. And the most important requirement is the belief in the oneness of Allah. And you can have this requirement through your deep, real relation with the meaning of the Quran. At the end, I must remind you that too much laughing will make you to be away from Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, indeed, too much laughing kills the heart. Okay? So, this doesn't mean that in Islam you can laugh or joke or whatever, but not too much laughing. You know, because too much laughing means that this is a person who is never serious. You know, who is always talking nonsense, acting nonsense, so that we can keep on laughing. Okay? This nonsense will always prevent you from having sincerity during prayer. I will actually...
That's a hadith?
Inshallah, I will tell you about the story of the adhan, which is the prayers, because actually this is a very interesting story. And inshallah, we will stop here, and we will continue, inshallah, about the prayer, salat. And actually, I am trying to have more time with the salah. And actually, I'm having this in my Arabic classes and in my English classes, in spite of the fact I had these classes 2 years ago. It was in April 2009. You know, it is recorded there. But I am making some changes. And also, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he commanded us to renew our belief through saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and to remind ourselves with the most important act for the believer, which is the prayers. Because when we are too much busy with the worldly life, we always forget, and we need to be reminded about the importance of as-salah. Now we will learn about the story of the adhan, the call, you know. What is the meaning of the adhan? Adhan is the call for the prayers. How we can know that the time of the prayer comes? When you will say, here, you know, the man, a man, or the, you know, the one who is calling for the prayer, okay, calling on Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So, why in Islam they call on the prayer with this call? I will clarify to you now. When the Muslims migrated from Mecca to Medina, they used to agree about a fixed time for the congregational prayers. They found it difficult to remember the time fixed for the prayers. You know, after the, you know, this, they migrated from Mecca to Medina. Okay. One day, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the Muslims discussed the matter of calling people for the prayers at the exact time. Some suggested the use of something like the bell of the Christians. Others suggested the use of the horn like that of the Jews. But Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, suggested someone to announce the prayer. They want a man to announce for the prayer. Then Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, appointed a man called Bilal to call the people to prayer. After Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had ordered a bell to be made so that it could be struck to gather the people to the prayer on the same day. Okay? It will be the calling of Bilal and Zabil. A companion called Abdullah ibn Zaid ibn Rabi'a said, I was sleeping when I saw a man carrying a naqus, which is like a bell, naqus is a bell in Arabic, in his hands. And I said, servant of Allah, will you sell this to me? When he asked what I would do with it, I replied, I would use it to call the people to prayer. He said, shall I not guide you to something better than that? I replied, certainly. So he told me to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala al-salah. Hayya ala al-salah. Hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. You know, sisters, you know, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Ashhadu anna la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Hayya ala salah, a call for prayer. Hayya ala al-falah, a call for success. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, La ilaha illallah, there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. When I told Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the morning what I had seen, he said, it is a true vision. Insha'Allah, we get up along with Bilal, and when you have taught him what you have seen, let him use it to make the call for prayer, because he has a stronger voice than you have. This means that one of the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, he saw a true vision, where in that true vision, a man said to him all of these words of the adhan. Next day, when he mentioned that vision to the Prophet, he told him, this is a true vision, but because your voice is not strong, Bilal has a stronger voice, let Bilal will be the one to call for the prayers. That companion, he got up along with Bilal and he began to teach it to him, and he used it in making the call for prayer. So the call for prayer is, you know, through this. Umar ibn al-Khattab heard this when he was in his house, and he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him that he had the same vision. You see, subhanallah. Okay? He had the same kind of thing as he had revealed. To this, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, replied, praise be to Allah. Now two people, they have the same vision, to use this to call for the adhan. From that day, actually until inshallah the day of judgment, this will be the way to call the people for the congregational prayers in Islam. Okay, sister, so now inshallah we will stop here. Okay, and inshallah we will learn from next week about how to pray every part of our prayers with sincerity, so that inshallah we will have the mercy and the blessings of the prayers. And now let us make the du'a. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our hearts. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.